Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Marvin Smith, right here on LA Talk Radio.
LA Talk Radio, here we are once again this week as we show up every week, and we're here to welcome you to Answers for the Family. Once again, for those of you who do not know me, I'm Marvin Smith, and I'm flying solo today. It seemed like between Alan and myself, we've been flying solo quite a bit. We're trying to get our license here that we can fly individually in these jet fighter planes. And for those of you who don't know me, that's just a joke. We're just throwing my little Monday morning joke in. But anyway, I am flying solo as far as hosting the show today. But every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific Standard Time, we will bring you special guests that can inspire, educate, and entertain while bringing you answers and options to raising children today in our constantly changing future. Answers for the Family will address issues such as locating your runaway teen. And on that note, the reason why Alan's not here today and I'm running solo, got a call that came in this morning. There's a runaway teen and he's out chasing. Well, not chasing. He's doing what he does best. He's out on the field running down, hunting down, trying to find this runaway teen so we can get her back in the right place in facilities and care. So that's where he's at. But as we're going forward here, you know, we will address family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, or dealing with addictions and so much more. As I'm sure many of you expected to hear Alan's voice today, but as I said, he's out in the field doing what he does and doing what he loves, doing the great works. Be it locating a runaway, escorting a teen to a specialized program, or retrieving an abducted child. Alan has been involved in myself for over the last 30 years, and I would have to say it's rewarding work, especially when we get the child back in the right place. And as we've heard many, many stories of these individuals who have turned out to be these fine, great adults who are giving back to society. Good work. Of course, I wish him swift success in rescuing the teen today. Now, I'm really excited about our topic today. Our topic today is, there's a new book called Fat Me Not, Weight Loss Diet of the Future. Interesting, Weight Loss Diet of the Future. I think what that means, what I think it means is that I don't have to do anything and lose weight. I think that's what it is. I don't know. That would be great, wouldn't it? But we're going to find out from our guest today, who is Dr. Sandee Graywall, who is a board certified by the American Board of Internal Medicine. He was awarded the Innovation in Healthcare Award by Charlotte Business Journal in 2012 and also named as the top 40 under 40 in 2013. So 40 under 40, I would assume that under 40 years old. Wow, you know, top 40 out of 40. Dr. Graywall has appeared in several television and radio shows, and this is his third authored book. He is also the co-inventor of the Slim Palate System. Dr. Graywall, welcome to Answers to the Family.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, I was given my little synopsis of Fat Me Not, Weight Loss Diet of the Future, and my impression of a diet of the future is I don't have to do anything. I can still eat all I want, and I could maintain my weight however I would like. Does this one work that way?
Well, I think that would be lovely if we had a diet which we didn't have to do anything. but the reason we call it the weight loss diet of the future is because the current diets in the market are based on research done in 1950s and 1960s. So when we are talking about low-carb diet, when we talk about low-fat diet, all these research are done in 1950s and 60s. And since then, there has been so many more advances in weight loss research. We have learned so much from these laboratories where they do experiments on rats and even humans. And we have found out that there are a lot of things that work, and they work, and many a solution are so easy to do, and which are pretty close to doing nothing, that we don't even count them at this time because we think it's just so easy, it cannot be that way.
Well, let me ask you this then. I mean, that's very interesting because it sounds like, I'm involved in public education and reform. And I look at even today in America, a lot of the things that we're doing in education is based on, hundreds of years ago of a system of how we educate kids. And all the research in neuroscience has given us all this validated information on how the brain works and how to look at things differently. But for some reason, we're still doing it the old way. And we find out we're not yielding the best results. And it sounds like it's the same, scenario if I were to pair in parallel what you just shared, same thing in weight loss or weight control or diets and things of that nature. We're still based on information or research based in the 60s. And this is 2015. So,
I know, and no, I think you're right because there is so much research. The problem with all these research is they are so so much deep in the medical science journals in complicated languages. That's the reason we wanted to bring it up as, in a simplified stories form way that people can understand the research and then apply it.
Well, let me ask you this, Dr. Graywall. I in your book, Fat Me Not, the excerpts and what I've gone through and what I've read is, you've connected the advances in weight loss science and brought that knowledge from the annals of research journals to, the doorstep in a simplified, easy to read, fun and entertaining way. And correct me if I'm wrong at any point, or if I say something that's offset or off kilter, please just feel free to jump in. But a lot of people get, there's so much, this roller coaster up and down, diets, it's so much stuff out there, and people don't know. Well, I know it's a multi-billion-dollar industry. I know people are making a lot of money, but at the end of the day is, how do we get healthy as a society? And I think this is where your research and what you've brought forth in the book is doing. So let me ask you this. How does bacteria in our gut hack into our nervous system and change our cravings to decide what we eat? I mean, because that's a big factor. I mean, when I think about diets, I like to use, say, healthy lifestyles, I mean, it's that those cravings that, man, they just crave us, eat us away.
Well, that's a great question because you're right. The cravings which we have is what derails our diets. If we have bad cravings, we are not able to go on a diet. And then if we are on a diet, we fail because of these cravings. We start eating more and more. So many times we are finding role of bacteria in our stomach, which induces cravings. Now, we always knew that there are trillions and trillions of bacteria in our stomach and intestines. We thought they were inactive. They were just sitting there. They are doing nothing. But latest research shows that actually these bacteria are active and they are in fact hacking our nervous system and changing the way we eat. They make us crave the food that they want because that's how these bacteria survive. So if these bacteria are good bacteria, which they will crave good kind of food and we will be able to maintain our weight without any effort. But if we have bad bacteria in our stomach, for example, if we drink sugary soda, if we eat highly processed food, if we are not drinking enough water, all these things will cause bad bacteria in our stomach, and that would make us crave bad food. And that way, we are stuck in this cycle of what we call is a fat me yes cycle, in which we are just not able to lose weight because we keep on craving the bad food.
Well, I'm going to use myself as an example. I'm not obesely overweight, but if I look at my weight where I am today and where I was 30 years ago, I've put on a few pounds, but I would like to go back to how I was 30 years ago. well, maybe not that many years, but maybe 15 years ago. So otherwise, what I'm saying is I want to lose a few pounds, doctor, and how can I, you know, instead of me at night, you know, I got that cravings for some ice cream. I mean, it just, so what can I do? I mean, how do I get rid of those bacteria that are those unhealthy bacteria and turn them into... I got this image in my mind, these little bacteria in my stomach that are, they got their, like, they're muscle bound, they're ready to go do the good work. How do I change?
This is what we do. What we try to do is we have to change these bacteria in our stomach to the good kind of bacteria, because then only we will go into the good cycle where we can lose weight and maintain this weight. So how did the scientists come to know about these bacteria and their role? What they did was they took in a laboratory what we call as diet obese rats. These are rats which are fat rats, and they put them through gastric bypass surgery, and this group of rats lost weight. Then they took the bacteria from stomach of this rats and put it in another set of obese rats which did not go through gastric bypass surgery. What they found out was the other set of rats lost weight too, and that was surprising. That's how they came to know that these bacteria play a big role in maintaining our weight. So what we need to do is we need to slowly move towards healthy foods. For example, we need to eat high protein diet. We need to drink plenty of water. We need to eat high fiber diet. And we need to make sure that we are eating natural foods, not artificial protein powders and shakes. And when we do that, slowly, slowly, the bacteria in our stomach is going to change to a good kind of bacteria. And once that bacteria settles down in our stomach, it's going to start hacking our nervous system again. But like a good hacker, this bacteria would make us crave good food. So that is the reason when we do go on a diet, which is right diet for us to do, it becomes easier and easier to maintain because of this bacterial changes and hormonal changes in our system.
Well, two things I'm thinking right now as you're speaking. I think about here more in recent years, this whole move toward probiotics, which is this whole thing about healthy the bacteria, you know, in the gut and the stomach. And I think you can give your expert input on this. You know, then why, you know, when we think about diets, you know, why when we diet and we lose weight, you gain back even more pounds than you did before. Would you say, like, you know?
Question.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right, because we do gain big weight back, and this is what we call is the yo-yo dieting or on and off dieting. It is dangerous form of dieting because we put all our effort into lose weight. We try to do everything right or whatever is written in the book or whatever somebody's told us, and then we lose large, massive amount of weight, and then we gain all the weight back. So why does that happen? That happens due to three reasons. Number one, we are choosing a diet which is very difficult to do, because when a diet is difficult to do, we cannot sustain it for long. When we cannot sustain that diet for long, we are going to lose weight, but we cannot sustain the diet, and we're going to gain it all back. Number two, that many of these diets take us away from our own food, that real food. And we are humans, we are habit of creatures, so we are used to certain kind of foods which we cannot live without. So if any diet that pulls us away from that kind of food, we cannot sustain that diet, and again, that diet is doomed to fail. And number three, that many of the diets in the market are short-term diets. Like you mentioned before, it's a billion-dollar industry. The weight loss industry wants to make money, and how would they sell us a new product for weight loss if their weight loss is permanent and not temporary? So the focus is not on changing eating behavior or improving our eating behavior. So many of these diets work, but they don't change our eating behavior, and that is the reason we gain weight, because the day we stop, we are back to our old habits.
Back to our old habits. So really what you're saying, too, is it's kind of, and I think of, I'm very visual, I just see kind of like going back, when all else fails, going back to the basics and eating healthy, eating more greens, trying to eat, you know, and the high protein and the low carb, just having that balanced diet. I mean,
well, I think balanced diet is very, very important, because when we go on imbalanced diet. For example, say we cut out carbs from our food. Now, cutting out carbs from our food is like going underwater, that we have to come back out and breathe. So it's very difficult to maintain that kind of diet. So we cannot do that. And many a time, say, people would go on just a protein diet or just on a vegan diet. What it does is it causes nutritional deficiencies. So when we have deficiency of vitamins and minerals in our body, we start getting more and more cravings. And then that makes our diet derail. So we have to have balanced diet in the right portions to be able to lose weight.
Okay. So then that's good. I mean, okay. Then my next question would be this. Fat me yes cycles. How do we get out of that? I'm listening to what you're saying as our listeners are listening, and you know, I'm going to speak out for someone, and I'm fairly regimented, and when I'm focused, I can maintain. I'm not overly obese, and that's by far. But thinking of those who have that problem, and you know, how do we? And they get in a cycle, and the cycle becomes very psychological, and it's very depressing, and you know, and depression then turns, you know, the psychological side of it, it makes me want to eat more. I mean, it's like I'm up and I'm down. It's like a yo-yo. So, you know, how do we get out? I mean, how do we get out of it? I mean, and you were
so
sharing.
You're right.
That.
It is right. It's very, very difficult for us to get out of fat media cycle because it's a cycle in which we are stuck, and it's keeping us, causing us to have these bad cravings of food. And it becomes very, very difficult for us to come out of it because we're getting these bad cravings of food. We want to change our diet, but we are not able to change our diet. That was one reason we had developed the Slim Plate system, in which we were having four steps of portion control and helping people come out of their fat me yes cycle and get into the fat me not cycle. But in general, what we need to do is we need to do it step by step. For example, sugary soda. They did an experiment in the laboratory about sugary soda. They gave the rat a sugary soda, and they found out that the rat was eating more and more the day it got the sugary soda. So as they kept on giving this rat sugary soda every single day, the rat ate more and more and started showing food addictions and binge eating behavior. So that's what happens to us when we are drinking sugary soda every single day. We are eating more because of that soda, so it's not just the calories. So we should go in steps to get out of the fat me yes cycle. Number one, stop drinking sugary soda. And when I say that, that includes juices, sodas, and even diet sodas are not good. So we have to slowly, then once we get used to that step, then we go to the next step, such as making sure that we eat breakfast early in the morning within 1 hour of waking up to boost our metabolism. So that's okay, how we slowly change ourselves.
So hold up. So let me. This is revolutionary. Well, maybe not revolutionary, but it's things we've heard, but I don't think sometimes get it. And I think I want to park right there and then overemphasize two things you just said. Two things that I think is, if we're going to jumpstart this process to healthy living, or cleaning up our gut, as one might say, from it being a big gut to a nice six pack gut. That's good, huh? But so don't drink a six pack of soda so you can have a six pack gut, right? Okay. So cut out the sodas. Because it's the sugar content in the sodas that's causing
us to eat more.
It makes you want to eat more and more. When you eat more, just more of more, right? Just more stuff, calories,
Because when we drink sugary soda, we think it's only about the calories, but that sugary soda is changing our eating behavior, like I said in the rat story in the lab. It changes us. It makes us eat more. So when we pack a sugary soda or a sugary juice for our kids and send them to school, that day they eat more. And we don't want that kind of behavior change in them. So we should not give them sugary soda.
Or sugary juice.
Or sugary juice, because many times people think the juices are good. I had a patient of mine. I counseled him. I told him to quit sugary soda because he was eating more and more and getting bad cravings. And he started drinking sugary juice, thinking because it's a juice, it's healthy. But it is not, because most of the juices in the market have added sugar. And there's virtually no difference between sugary soda, a sugary juice, or a sweetened iced tea.
Hmm. So no difference. So let me ask you this real quick. Then, are there any healthy juices? I mean, or maybe just don't drink as, I mean, if it's 100%.
So what we need to do is, if we are drinking juices, we should, number one, we need to know that juices should be from the fresh fruit, not canned juices, and not from concentrate, and with no added sugar.
And no added sugar, okay. Okay, it's good to know.
And also, then when we drink it, we should not drink more than 8 ounce glass of juice at one time in about 4 to 6 hours period.
Okay, so cut back. So only at the maximum. So if you have some orange juice in the morning, not from a concentrate, but fresh squeezed and 100% juice. And so and all you need is just 8 ounces, no more than eight. And if you drink another glass, it shouldn't be for another 4 to 6 hours.
Well, yes, and the reason why we say we should not drink more than 8 ounces of juice for 4 to 6 hours is what the phenomenon of glycemic index, and I'm sure everybody's familiar with glycemic index, but in simple terms, what it means is that whenever we eat or drink something, the sugar enters our blood. When the sugar enters our blood, there is an insulin spike. If this insulin spike is low, it converts these calories and burns them off. But if the insulin spike is high in response to high amount of sugar coming in, it changes these calories into fat and do not burn them off. Drinking 8 ounces is important because we want to keep that insulin spike low and not high. And that is the reason we can burn off those calories instead of our body storing them.
Okay, so now that leads me right into the other thing that you said. You said two things, the juices, and then the second thing you said, eating breakfast no more than after an hour once you have
woken up. From,
yes.
Right. And so here's the thing. That's what, grandmother used to say, that you should eat your breakfast. And guess what? She was right. Why does that happen? And it all started when one of my patients came to me and she told me that she's been eating only once a day and she's not losing any weight. And she's, in fact, gaining weight. So I looked into the medical literature to see what's happening to her that, you know, it sounds logical that if you're eating only once a day, you should be losing weight. But why don't we lose weight? That happens because whenever we subject our body to a fasting state, whenever we are not eating for a prolonged period of time, our body slows down, our metabolism slows down, and our metabolism can slow down by up to 50 to 60%. When that happens, yes, 50 to 60%, that's almost our metabolic
Okay.
rate cuts down by half.
So let me wow, that's okay. Let me catch this now. So really, by not eating breakfast, what we're saying is that our metabolism slows down up to 50 to 60% by missing breakfast.
Right, because now your body's not sure that it's going to get food or not. So what it does is it starts slowing the metabolism so it can store more food for the time when you decide not to eat anymore.
So it sounds like breakfast is probably the most important meal of the day.
Yes, and that's what grandmother used to say. And like you said, that there are many things which are very simple, but we don't think they would work because they're just too simple. So if we are sleeping at night, say we had our last meal at around 9 o'clock and we wake up in the morning at 8 o'clock, it's already 12 hours of fasting. And then we skip our breakfast, that adds another 4 or 5 hours to it. So we are fasting for almost 17 hours just by skipping our breakfast. And when that happens, our metabolism slows down by 50%. And then if we have a 600-calorie meal in the lunchtime, that's going to hit us like 1,200 calories because our metabolic rate is half.
Wow. It's half. Wow. Interesting. Okay, that's good to know. Let's talk about breakfast a little bit now. Maybe the healthy things to have for breakfast. Just say, you know, I hear people, you know, hey, I'm on the go, I'm on the run. And they want to, you know, call it grab and go. And they say, hey, I just got a donut. Donut's not healthy. And they say, well, I got my coffee. Now, that right there, but hey, it's breakfast. But that's not breakfast of champions.
Right. And so here comes the issue of food modifying our eating behavior. And I'm glad you brought donuts up because they are very common breakfast items. But then there was this research done on rats also. Again, I'm bringing in a rat into the picture. In the lab, what they did was they gave this rat a mixture of fat and sugar, which is like the donut, or it could be, cookies or cakes. What they found was that the moment the rat ate that mixture of fat and sugar, it ate more in the next 2 to 3 hours and almost consumed half of its day's calorie in that time. So if we pick up a donut early in the morning to eat for breakfast, what we are technically doing is changing our eating behavior, which means that day we are going to eat more, that day we are going to have more bad cravings, and we won't be able to stick to a diet. We would blame ourselves that we don't have willpower and we ate more, but it is actually that donut in the morning that's doing it to us.
Dr. Graywall, but I had the coffee to wash it down to offset it, and I thought the acid from the coffee would kill the donut. So the coffee's not helping the donut?
No, not at all. Coffee is pure caffeine and water, so unless we are putting sugar and milk in it, so that's added calories. But coffee is actually, caffeine is a slight metabolic booster, so it does boost your metabolism, but we got to eat healthy in the breakfast. Cereals are a good thing to do. Fruit and fruit smoothies are good to eat in the breakfast time. We can have a piece of bagel, make sure it's whole wheat. We can have two bread toasts, one egg, or maybe two egg and one bread toast. One strip of bacon is okay, but not too many of them. So there are a lot of healthy options for us to eat during breakfast, not the processed food, not the donuts, not the cookies, not the cakes.
So basically you're saying to stay away from the processed food and then be moderate on what we're eating, not five eggs or, not consuming 10 cups of coffee. You're saying is a cup of coffee is okay to have if I'm eating healthy or?
Well, ideally, we recommend only two special drinks a day, and that is what is in our Slim Plate system also, that in our diet plans, that only two cups of special drinks. So it could be either one 8-ounce coffee, one 8-ounce juice, or maybe two cups of coffee, but we should not overdo it.
Okay. Overdo it. And that's where I think where we go wrong, especially as Americans, we overdo it. We just a lot of times, I think that's why the obesity has gone up. And I think, and I'm looking at it too, being involved in education and public education at the K-12 level, I'm looking at our kids that they're not as healthy as they were years ago. I mean, there's this whole thing of obesity and they're not getting exercise. They got all this electronics and they're not moving and they're definitely not eating properly.
Right. And with the access to the sodas and to the sugary foods and processed food in the cafeterias of schools, which is now turning a corner and starting to improve in many states, kids especially, we have to be very mindful because they are in a very impressionable state. And if they have access to soda, then that soda changes their eating behavior, and then they drink soda every day, and that they develop food addictions and binge eating behavior. So all this, snowballs into obesity. And, research, just the latest research coming out of UK showed that once you start gaining weight, it becomes very, very hard to lose weight and go back to your normal weight. So prevention, it is coming to see that is better than cure.
Right. So it's better to be proactive than post.
Well, absolutely.
Makes a lot of sense. Oh, Dr. Graywall, this is really good stuff. It's just amazing how time flies by so fast when you're having a good time and when you the type of information that you're bringing forward. It's that time for commercial break. But what I'd like to do, for our show, we will get listeners who will call in or the email or text a question. And what I want to do is read one, and then maybe you can speak into it, and then we're going to take a quick break. And I'd like to come back for the rest of the show and get more in-depth about the book itself and what makes your book, this revolutionary book of the future of how we diet for life. How's that sound?
That sounds good.
Okay, well, here's the question. It's from one of our listeners. It says, I have tried so many different diets, a real roller coaster of weight gain and loss for 15 years, which we just talked about a little earlier. I can't count the books I have purchased with very little success. Can you please share with me why your book will work for me long term? As I am very excited to find a solution that will work and that I can recommend to my friends as well as who are very tired of the same old hype.
Well, I think it's a great question. What we are saying is that, you know, there are so many diets in the market. They work. We lose weight for some time, then we gain it back. There's so much of contradictory information. You're supposed to eat this, then another book says you're not supposed to eat this. So one thing I want to tell everyone is Fat Me Not book is not a fad diet. This is not a fad diet. What we have tried to do is to answer the real questions about weight loss, to answer the real myths about weight loss. We, for example, do you need to have nutrition supplement? Why does one meal a day does not cut it and does not let us lose weight? And how do we increase our willpower to stick to a diet? And how do we choose a diet plan? And how do we use the latest research and apply it in our daily lives to lose weight? So, what we have brought together in this book is scientific information in an easy way for all of us to apply in our life, whether all of it together or one by one, so that we are developing these healthy habits to lose weight and then keep it off.
Okay. Yeah, that's, well, otherwise it's not a, and correct me if I'm wrong again. So it's not a diet book. Basically, it's a taking the research, the revolutionary research, and basically educating people and giving them the knowledge and the insight so they can make the right changes to incorporate into their life to become healthy.
Well, I think that's right, because what we have done in, actually the book came out about, and let me tell you how the book came out. We had, me and my partner, Dr. Nui, we have been working to help people lose weight for a long time in our internal medicine practice in Rock Hill, South Carolina. But we decided that we want to create a system that would be easy to do to lose weight, that should allow real food, and that should improve people's eating habit without having them to learn the nutrition science behind it. So that is the time we had created the Slim Plate System diet plan, which became very popular. But one thing was lacking at that time was that there was, because we wanted it to be just so intuitive that people don't need to learn nutritional science to do a weight loss, we wanted people to understand why the system works the way it works. And that's when we came up with this book in which we brought together all the scientific facts which are key to our weight loss and which are, very important, that if we miss it, like just like you talked about the breakfast, many people know that breakfast should be eaten every day, but they don't know why.
No, why?
Once we know why, then we are more prone to do what we are supposed to do.
Right. Which I think is phenomenal, because it's that why and understanding that drives, human behavior to do something. Because now I understand what's behind it. Not just, I'm just told that's, do it. It's like, oh, wow, okay, so if I'm missing this, just say for breakfast, my metabolism slows down. And if I don't do it an hour after I get up, my metabolism is going to slow down to 50 to 6%. So anything after that, I'm like doubling the calories on what I'm eating. So it's great information.
Right.
So
right.
On that
make,
note.
Make us think.
Yes, which is good. I mean, well, and I can say, and then it's based on all the latest research, which is always great to know. And on that note, we're going to take a commercial break. And right now, we are interviewing Dr. Graywall, and he's just has a fabulous new book, Fat Me Not, Weight Loss Diet of the Future. And it's not a weight loss book, and as you said, it's more of it's a book to give you awareness of what to, how to, and understand the research behind it.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
We are back here for Answers for the Family. And once again, I'm your host, Marvin Smith, with our guest, our special guest today, Dr. Graywall, Sadi Graywall, Certified American Board of Internal Medicine. So I think, you know, his background, his, as we say, the pedigree, I think he knows what he's talking about. I don't know. I believe he does, and looking at his background. Dr. Graywall, it's great to have you back with us. But what I'm going to do, here's a thought. Here's my question. Mm-hmm. I have a question, then I have a question from listener. I'm going to tie the two together. So the question is this. Please share with us real stories from real patients at ACE Medical Weight Loss Center and how they lose weight. Okay, so now I'm going to go to our listener question, which says this. Our 16-year-old daughter has a serious food allergy condition, which includes dairy, gluten, soy is a big one, nuts like almonds, walnuts and peanuts, and some vegetables. Would your diet be beneficial to her? Also, I have been hearing that some diets help reverse allergies by detoxing the system. Is this true? If so, how does that work? So now the first question I asked about from the ACE Medical Weight Loss Center, and you probably have some patients you might have dealt with, doctor.
Yes. What happens is with food allergies, and it's an unfortunate condition because many times patients are not able to eat everything they have in their, you know, what they can eat. So they are virtually forced to eat whatever they are not allergic to. And that may mean that they may end up choosing bad food, because if you have nut allergy, you tend to avoid nuts, and many of the food have nuts in it. People have gluten allergy, they have to avoid certain foods too. So the best thing to do is, and then we tend to move towards more processed food because, you know, they have the labels on it. They exactly know what goes into it. And right. Many times processed foods are not good for our health. So the best thing to do for that is, number one, we have to make sure, and that's what we did with one of our patients at ACE Medical Group. We sent the patient through a comprehensive food allergy testing because we need to know exactly what the patient's allergic to. We cannot assume. Okay. That's very important because, you know, when you have allergy to food, it can be a life-threatening condition. And then once we got her tested and we know what she's allergic to, then we had the patient list all the foods that she's been eating. We made a list of all the healthy foods which she could be eating and then merged it together. And then made the patient go through our slim plate system, diet system, in which she was able to put the food and go through the four steps of portion control one month. And that is the most effective way to do it. And the beauty of this slim plate system, which is our diet system based on the Fat Me Not book, is that it fits any kind of food, no matter what it is. So people can build a diet around their own food, around their own foods that they can eat or they cannot eat, and that is how it works. But again, we have to be very careful in weeding out the bad foods that we are eating because of our food allergies. The second question that you had was, are there diets which reverse food allergies? Now, it is still a matter of contention whether there are diets which reverse food allergies. We do know that some research is coming up in terms of locally produced honey and things like that can reverse allergies related to seasonal allergies related to pollen. But I would not ask anybody to try anything they are allergic to without a doctor's supervision.
Okay, good to know. Good, great answer, great. Okay, my next question, Dr. Graywall. How do our bodies regulate our weight, and how can we use this knowledge to our advantage?
Well, I think great question. So how do we regulate weight is something that scientists have figured it out. So the center for weight regulation is deep inside our brain, which we will call it a weight regulation center. It does have a complicated name, and it is in a part of the brain called the hypothalamus. And this hypothalamus is divided into two sections. There's one section which increases our cravings, so it's like an accelerator, and it makes us crave calorie-dense food. And there's a second section which decreases our craving and increases satiety, makes us feel full, which is like a break. So all the play that we have every single day, should I eat, should I not eat, is based on this weight regulation center. Now, this is also connected to our mode of survival, which means we are always in a survival mode, which means that when we are losing weight, our brain thinks we are getting destroyed. And when our brain thinks that we are getting destroyed, it's going to increase our craving for junk food and calorie-dense food, because that is the reason whenever we lose weight, about 5 to 10% of our body weight, and then we suddenly stop losing weight and we wonder why. So this is what we call as a plateau phase. So when we are losing weight, our body's thinking, our brain's thinking, oh my God, I'm getting destroyed. So what it does, it slows down the process. It increases our cravings. After a month or two of dieting, we suddenly start craving more food, and we start giving ourselves excuses. Maybe I can have that. And that is not just because we are weak at will. That's our brain working to bring the weight back to normal. But that is a very critical period of dieting, when we are in the plateau phase, we are not losing any weight, we are doing everything right. We got to keep on doing it, because after a few weeks, the brain realizes it's not getting destroyed, the body's not getting destroyed, this is a good weight, and then it would let us lose 5 to 10% of our body weight again, and again put us in a plateau phase.
So that's normal then, hitting those plateau phases, that, you know, and the thing is, we've got to just keep it up to keep moving forward. Because you're right, I've listened to people and you know, say or use the excuse, like, hey, I've been dieting already, I've been doing good, I've lost, you know, 15 pounds, and I did it quickly, so, okay, I'm going to fudge this week and I'm going to have the pizza. I'm okay. And really, that's not okay, because if you want to, what you're saying is, we want to maintain that, and within a two-week period, it'll go back to then regaining to losing that weight.
Right. And another thing that comes into play here is what we talked about, the mixture of fat and sugar. When we eat a high carb or a high fat food during our dieting, it can make us eat more. So that is the reason when we are dieting very good, and then you know, we lost weight 15-20 pounds in 2 months, and then we go to this party and we see a big piece of cake, and we decide to eat that piece of cake, and the next thing we know is that our diet has derailed, we are not following any of our diet we used to, and we blame ourselves. But it is actually that cake, as if you remember from the experiment I talked about,
yes.
The cake is changing our eating behavior and derailing our diet. So if we had only like 2 fingerbreadth of that cake, we would have still been on a diet. But just because we ate too big of a piece of cake, it derailed our diet by changing our eating behavior. So we have to be very mindful that when we choose foods to eat, especially desserts and cookies and cakes, when we choose to eat them, to eat very little of them in the right portions, because otherwise they will derail our diet.
Right. So otherwise, you're not saying don't eat the cake. You're saying take a spoon or two, get the taste, because all it is get the taste of it, and keep and then move forward. It's that sitting there consuming, eating more is what changes. What you say is what changes the diet.
Right. It will change our eating behavior. But eating less won't. The good news is eating less, one or two spoons, like you said, would not change our eating behavior. But if you have a whole big piece of cake, it will.
Right. Okay. So that's good. That's good to know. So a lot of times you got the craving. Hey, take a spoon. It's like ice cream. Take a spoon, but that's it. But don't eat the whole bowl.
Well, absolutely.
Okay. It's good. Now, here's another. I'm thinking out loud to myself of questions and what our listeners may want to know. Well, tell us more about some weight loss success strategies that our listeners can start on right away. I think this was a good takeaway.
I think that would be great. Yeah.
Okay.
What one thing I have to tell is before we start on a diet, many a time we think that, okay, I will go to a gym one day when I get time and then I'll start my weight loss. The good news is that diet contributes 90% to our weight loss and exercise contributes only 10%. So I'm not saying exercise is not good for health. It's very good for health. It's very good for heart health.
Dr. Graywall, say that one more time. Say that one more time so our listeners get it.
Sure. The diet contributes 90% to our weight loss, not exercise. So don't wait for that time when we have time to start exercising. We just got to eat the food that we are eating today in the right way, in the right portions, at the right times. That's what we need to do to start losing weight. So exercise comes later to boost the results of these weight loss. Most of it will come by diet changes. So the good news is that people with disabilities, people who are very obese that they cannot exercise, people with joint pains, they don't have to worry that they won't be able to lose weight ever because they cannot exercise. They have the same chance of losing weight as somebody else who can exercise.
Wow, that's good to know, because a lot of people think, why can't, you know? I was talking to my mom the other day, and she's got some medical issues. She can't really exercise. And then she said, well, I can't really lose as much weight as I would like because I can't exercise. And what you're saying, 90% of it is how we eat in a diet, and she still can. So that's, I think for a lot of our listeners, that's good information to know. And on that note, Dr. Graywall, when you're having fun, how fast time goes by. We are down to our last few minutes of the show, and I just want to say thank you so much for being a part of our show for our listeners, because the information you shared, I believe, is life-changing and life-saving. And those who would like to get your book, where could they go?
Our book is available on the website fatmenotbook.com. We do have the diet system based on the book on slimplatesystem.com. And the book is also available on Kindle and Amazon and other online retailers.
Okay. And once again, the book by Dr. Graywall, it's Fat Me Not. And you can reach it. You can get to that. If you want more information, go to www.fat-me-not.com. Thank you, Dr. Graywall, for your time. And I would like to tell our listeners, tune in next week when our guest, Margaret Gunstein, joins us to talk about her new book, Naked in the Woods, a story from the past and the longing so many people have to recapture and to re-inspire a return to simpler times and the values from the 70s grassroots American movement. Almost like what Dr. Graywall was just saying, getting back to the basics. Let's start eating properly. Thank you. So, if you missed our show and you want to share this show with your friends, please visit our archives at answersforthefamily.com. And that's answers, the number four, thefamily.com. And, hey, next time you're on Facebook and Twitter, please like us. We like you, like us, so we can continue with this show, and we can continue to have individuals like Dr. Graywall on our show that's giving all this phenomenal information that we're here, that we can help and be a, as we might say, a blessing to the world. Thank you. And Dr. Graywall, once again, thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Marvin Smith, right here on LA Talk Radio.